Welcome to the Cognitive Rampage Podcast. We are powered today by Onnit, as usual. I am powered every day by Onnit. If you're not using Onnit products, you definitely need to get Onnit. You can go to adamlowry.com or cognitiverampage.com. And that's Adam Lowry, Lowery.com. Find the Onnit logo, click on that, and your first order will get a discount on it. But you'll get special offers on anything that they're offering. Right now, they're doing one of the biggest sales Onnit has ever done, 25% off almost everything. But Onnit is a total human optimization website. It's a totally natural and earth-grown supplement product, supplement company, food products, workout equipment, information from some of the best minds around when it comes to nutrition and exercise. Even motivational talks, everything that you really need to live an optimized life is at Onnit.com. Supplements, food, I already talked about some of the fitness stuff that they use. I'm a kettlebell person myself. I have a few of their primal bells. I'm actually sitting here in the cave hanging out with me when I'm not swinging them around. But the New Mood is something that I like to take when sometimes before bed. It has a little magnesium in it too. Helps you sleep. But if it's has been a rough day or it has been a rough night the night before, pop a couple New Moods in the morning, and it really does. Changes your mood. Alpha Brain will keep you focused. I suggest taking that if you're going to be giving a speech. I do them before every podcast or a long travel day even. But anywhere from Himalayan salt to Warrior Bars. I love the Warrior Bars, man, partly because I'm Native American and it's an old Native American recipe, so I'm biased. But it's buffalo meat and cranberries and some pepper. It's really good. But I love the Warrior Bar. I love everything on it. I'm not fronting. They basically say if you think you can make it, do it. Buy the stuff yourself and make it. You can if you want. But that's what I love about Onnit is they find ingredients and things that I don't have to shop for that are hard to find, difficult to make sure that they're pure. And they sell them to you. So they even give you your money back. If you use their products and you don't like them, you can give them back. So I haven't ever sent anything back, and I know you won't either. But if you're really looking to optimize your life, improve your life, Onnit is a wonderful place to start. And like I said before, go to cognitiverampage.com or adamlowry.com, Lowery. Click on the Onnit logo and get some savings. And if you're not on it, get on it. My guest back on the Rampage, who I love to talk to and love having on, is my friend Tony Jack the Bear Mance, legendary sound engineer, now soon to be legendary motivational speaker. I love his line, happiness is your fucking birthright. He's my man. I love chatting with him. He's been on the show once before, and we had another just small catch-up conversation one time. But this one I'm going to put directly on the podcast. He's got a lot of exciting things to talk about. A lot of things have happened to him since the last time he was on the Rampage. But I'm going to let Tony tell you all that stuff when he gets on. But love talking to him. My friend, Tony Jack the Bear Mance.
Stay in the pocket and persevere. I'm not going to just say, fuck this shit and be a weak cunt. Fuck that.
I'm glad to see you, man.
Man, it's beautiful to see you. Let me tell you something, Adam Lowry. I think you saw the talk. I posted a talk on Facebook, man, 8,500 fucking views. How amazing is that? I've got to be honest. I thought I'd get maybe 100, 120 people looking at it. And It's crazy, man. It was just a straight off the cuff. No, just boom, just whatever was here, just there. Some people said I swore a little bit too much, and maybe so, but that's me.
Man, fuck them, man. I can't stand the people that want to judge the quality of a message based on a couple fucking words. I mean, if your judgment is so thin that all it takes for you to miss a message is a fuck word or a shit word, well, then fuck you. You're not fucking listening, man, if that's all it takes, personally.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that after reviewing it, I think I could maybe pull it back just a little, not a lot, just a little, but But hey, it's all honing. It's just honing. Look, I'll never ever not. That's just me. I swear. Like I'm doing this video. A friend of mine's put together a video, and in it I say, if you're expecting a collar and tie, corporate, clean cut presentation, this is not the place for you. Yeah, it's not for you. Yeah, if you want it raw, you want it real, you want it authentic. And I'm telling you how it is, then you're very welcome.
You know, you speak to a good point, man. One of my first mentors in my life, Leo Dianaboff, I love that dude, man. He challenged me a lot on my language, man, and hardcore. And he made probably one of the best points that I ever heard about the language, which actually, and he was right. Of course, I fought him tooth and nail when he said it. I'm like, look, if I don't, I'm going to lose the emphasis, the umph, the me, you know, all the irrational thinking. And he goes, look, I promise you, man. And he goes, your message will have the same effect without the curse words. And what's even better is the ones that are offended by cursing will actually hear your message. And the ones that don't care about the cursing will still love your message the same. And I shit you not, I fought him tooth and nail that day. And I had a presentation, went in, kicked the thing off like he did with no curse words. And he was fucking right. It had the same oomph.
Well, I say it this way. I say this is the way I speak and I swear. Well, you and I've had conversations. So, you know, it's not a put on. Or an attempt to try and, you know, create some kind of persona.
Right, or controversy or something, you know. And yeah, they're not word fillers either.
But having said that, there is something to be said about the less is more adage, where if you still do it, but you just put it in at points where you punctuate it harder, it makes more impact, and has, you know, it's just more dynamic, I guess. So, and again, man, I'm still learning a craft. I just realized that after this week, I always knew I had a gift for this, but now I know for sure, man, this is the path. This is the direction. This is what it's about. It's about talking to kids, inspiring kids, and getting down to the heart of the matter, which is talking about their self-esteem and their self-worth. And it all comes down to that. And, you know, all this work I'm doing with Peter Sage, man, has, I'll tell you what, man, it's literally like taking out a floppy disk out of my head and inserting a new one. It's just been that full on.
Just pull it out your hard drive and put it in a new one. What's some of the hardest things you've had to face, or maybe Peter has made you face?
I wouldn't say that it's been a hard thing. I think what he's invited me to do is to look at some, just a few fundamental facts, basically that you, I, we're all born perfect. We're a 1 in 400 million chance to be in this existence. And that when you let go of the need for control of outcomes, of needing validation from people, needing approval, needing permission to be who you are, and just allow yourself to be just you and accept you, then all of a sudden things just, you start to be more in flow with the world. So it wasn't a case of, come here, motherfucker, I want you to come and face this, your past, or, because that's what people do. A lot of people live in their past. We're all storytellers, right? And we all have a story and we all live our story, but a lot of people get locked into their past. And you know what? Lots of bad shit has happened to all of us, and, you know, you can make it a real big pissing contest, but the fact of the matter is the past, it's done. And, yeah, there's some great lessons to be learned if you choose to see them as lessons and gifts and you know, pull the failure inside out, so to speak. But when you dwell on it, what will happen is then that just keeps giving you justification to tell yourself why it's okay to be where you are, and that why you can't do what you want to do because, well, you know, my dad was a prick and he hit me, or my mom was a bitch, you know, my wife left me, whatever. You know, this girl in high school said I was a fat prick. So there's always going to be those things in your life, but if you dwell on it, at some point you just have to let go. It's as simple as that. So that's really the main thing I've got out of it. And as we're working, I'm learning to operate on a different level of consciousness, and also just to just have a better understanding of life in general, how it works. It's really quite an eye-opening thing, man. But the most important thing is just to get in touch with you. You know?
Yeah. So once you get in, sorry, man. Go ahead.
It's just about accepting who you are, finding out who you are, and letting go of everything you never were.
Yeah, I think that's one of the hardest things for people to face in that change. Even, you know, in my book, and you're talking about it now, man, is that idea of grasping there is no real reality, man. Is everything that we believe to be true about ourselves, the world, and other people, there are meticulously modified perceptions that we create and then concrete them to be true things, like our past. You know, we've been through shit, whoever it is, or whatever you've been through, and then we take that and that defines our narrative. It makes our story.
Yeah, and also to understand that you're a cybernetic organism, meaning that you are adaptable and programmable, because we're, you know, 80% of the day we're running unconsciously. We're creatures of habit. We don't think about shit. But just because you're programmable, that doesn't mean to say that you can't choose how to be programmed. And when you know that and understand that, as Pete explained to me, he gave me this beautiful analogy. He said, think of your mind as the as a needle on a compass. You can only point in one direction at one time. Now, your mind is the same thing. So even if you are having 350,000 thoughts a day, it's still, that needle is still going to be pointing one direction. Now, given that we are unconscious for the majority of the day, that needle is going to be pointing at a certain, what it thinks it's north. It's not a true north. So negative thinking, negative programming, negative ideals, what have you, that are just in the background flying away, that needle is just pointing in that direction. So through the reprogramming, it's like the remagnetization of that needle into the more positive thinking, the more, you know, into, you know, getting to the higher esteem end of it. So even in that unconscious state, that needle is starting now to point at a true north. So it's really quite interesting.
Sounds like a lot of it starts to begin with self-awareness.
It is, completely. That's the first thing. Just wake the fuck up.
Yeah, and most people, they can't, man. It's difficult, I think, when to really make yourself the observation experiment. You know, your own thoughts, your behaviors, and be able to look at yourself and self-aware and go, hey, damn, I was just an asshole there, or I'm being self-judgmental or openly judgmental.
Yeah. Well, again, it comes down to choice. It's the old proverbial lead the horse to water, you know, but you can't make it felch.
Mm. Yeah, I talk a lot. I talk a lot about intrinsic and extrinsic motivation when I'm talking to people that are, you know, trying to change their life, dealing with addiction. I end up talking to a lot of people dealing with addiction. And, you know, there's that difference between obviously the extrinsic and intrinsic. And I say, look, you may have kids or someone you love, et cetera, that may feel like that's what's going to push you to be sober. But truthfully and truth be told, those are just extrinsic motivations. And extrinsic motivations will definitely lead you to the water. But it takes an intrinsic motivation to drink the water. And trust me, there are millions dead along the water side.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is we're just starting to touch on now with Peter is the idea of identity. Until you identify in a certain way, you know, your identity statement, who are you? And it's very powerful because look at people that say, I'm a diabetic, right? Immediately that is that, okay, you have a condition and I'm sorry about that, but you identify that way, so you're going to stay that way, as opposed to saying, I'm a human being who currently is currently experiencing a condition called diabetes, and I'm working my way through to reversing that. Because once you say, I'm a diabetic, I'm a victim. I'm fucked. It's a life sentence. This is why AA and these kind of things, it's one thing to own a behavior and say, okay, I have done this or I've done this incorrectly or what have you. But when you just have to always say, I'm an alcoholic, after you haven't had a drink for 20 fucking years and you're still an alcoholic, really? Come on. I don't get that. I don't know, man. I'm not an expert in psychology and neurology.
Well, you sound like it, dude, because it sounds like Peter and I also are on the same page, man, because in my book as well, dude, I talk about that because we don't say I am headache. When you have a headache, you just, I have a headache. And like you already referenced, is when people do introduce themselves as, hi, my name is, and I am an addict. Or even if they just say, yeah, I'm depressed. You aren't depressed. You're being affected by depression. You're being affected by addiction. You're separated there. I always use a bully story when I talk about that, when I'm talking to people being affected by addiction. I say, look, if there was a little kid in the middle of the room getting his ass beat by a bully, you wouldn't get mad at the kid, right? No, of course not. You'd be mad at the bully. Well, the bully is addiction. The bully is depression. The bully are those things. And if you identify yourself with that, like you said, you are calling yourself that.
Yeah. And ultimately, it really comes down to understanding that you are, you know, the I am. I am. And then you can insert whatever label, tag you want to put. But you have to understand at the end of the day, it's about the I am. And that's it. That's the most powerful statement there is.
I like that. The I am.
Yeah, I am. That's it. Because when I am, I'm it. I'm whatever I want. I then I make the choice to tell you who I am. But you got to, that's the foundation. And it's interesting. When Peter mentioned that to me, check this out, man. I got a tattoo of the, you can see the flower of life.
Come down a little bit. Oh, I see your I am, yeah.
And there's the I am underneath. So it's really quite interesting.
And he's using the same words.
You know, I got that tattoo about 2-3 years ago.
No coincidences, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So since the last time we spoke, man, I've got to tell you, it's been a really interesting journey for me, and I've been sharing my stuff, you know, my journey on Facebook, because I've decided that, you know, this music industry particularly doesn't have anyone out there who's telling this kind of stuff and inviting people to look at it and at least consider it, you know, without any kind of coming from some authoritative place or just saying, hey, listen, you know what? This is the way I've done life. These are the issues I've had with self-esteem, self-worth, blah, 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 blah. And I'm a bit of a Johnny come lately to this party, but now that I'm at the party and I see what's going on, you know, it's just a really cool place to hang out. But the price of entry is this, this, and this. My experience, you take it on board, whatever you want to do, because I'm unaffected at the end of the day, but I'm just sharing that with you. And I decided I'm just going to be very transparent and very honest, because I think people need to hear it, man. People need to hear that shit.
What part about the music industry, you know, because obviously there's not a shortage of people trying to be music stars. I mean, there's tons of them trying to do it. But, I mean, are they being led in kind of a different way, you think? Is that what you're talking about?
Not necessarily led a different way. I think it's, they're all affected by the same issues as anyone in industry, whatever desire it is, whether you want to be a model or you want to be a banker or you want to be a surgeon. Ultimately, until you get to that point where you feel you're worthy of it, and you know, and Dan Pena talks about it, man. Have you know Dan Pena?
Mm-hmm, I do.
$50 billion man. You want to talk about a guy that cusses, man? That guy, he's the pinup boy. I love him, man. He's awesome. Anyway. He talks about the emotional bank. We have two bank accounts, an emotional bank account and a financial bank account. Everyone is focusing on the financial bank account, when in fact we should be focusing on the emotional bank account, because that is what's going to drive everything else. So when your self-esteem is high, everything else will follow on. Everyone's got an ass around, you know. So, and people see they mistake their net worth for their self-worth. When in fact, it's your self-worth that's really where it's at.
Yep.
That will create net worth, provided you give value.
Right? Value where?
Just value to people. So, you know, you want to make money, you need to provide some value. It's you know, when you can provide something of value to someone, and everyone has, you know, some things, you know, for example, you might want to sell something, but to someone it may have more value because it may be from a nostalgic point of view. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's worth that to money. I'll buy that 63 Vet, because you know what? That was the car my dad drove, and I've got to have it, and I will pay that amount of money as an example, you know, or just doing extra work or whatever. Whatever it is that gives value to someone. That's what it is. And I'm still learning more about this shit, man. Again, you know, no expert commentary. There's no armchair expert commentary coming from this. I'm just merely relaying the shit that I'm learning. And as I'm doing that, it's just reinforcing my mind. So it's a good exercise.
Shit, I love what you do. I can count on you to post about the time you're waking up in Australia, and I'm kind of calling it a day over here. I always know about when you wake up because your post will pop up, and I know it's something motivational, it's something pushing, and sometimes I got to not read it before bed because then I get another fucking hour in. You know, I read your shit, and I'm like, fuck, I can keep going. You know, so I look forward to that, man. But so much, you're right. You spoke to that emotional, what Pena talks about, the emotional and the financial bank account, because in this country, very much so, man, and I'm sure in yours similarly, is that push toward financial bank account. People will greatly assume that once that is full, then the emotional bank account will be full.
Yeah, that's not. I mean, you see it with guys who... I bumped into a guy on the weekend, really nice guy, very successful, great job, drives a really hot car, and no luck with women. And I think he mistakenly thinks that it's the really cool ride, and having a Amex Black or Platinum or fuck whatever the top of the range fucking car is. It does
2 billion bitcoins.
Yeah, exactly, something like that. And he's a nice enough guy, but he's a needy. He's needy. He doesn't understand. I said, man, you become lovable when you love yourself. And we're energetic beings, and people pick up on that. When, you know, chicks love confidence. As my dad used to say, women, son, it's not too hard. Make them laugh, listen to them, and take out their garbage bins. Right? That's it. Now, he didn't specify the order, but I'm still working on it. But I get the gist. And I said, you're a nice guy, man. You don't need to try so hard. Again, it's like the Peter Sage, buy me consciousness. You know, where I'm going to fucking do it my way. Lots of effort, lots of grunt, lots of all that shit. And, yeah, the job gets done, but it's very fucking tiresome. Where when you elevate yourself to a through me consciousness, that's where you relax and you live your life. Yeah, you work, you apply yourself, you're diligent, but you have this feeling of inevitability that wherever it is you're going, you're there, you're as good as there. But you understand that life is not linear. You know, it's, you know, we go to school, it's a very left brain thinking kind of style. So everyone's looking in straight lines. So you look at nature, there's no fucking straight lines in nature. Rivers, coastlines, you name it. So you got to understand that this river is going to meander this way. But when you know that, it doesn't matter, man, because this is where I need to be right the fuck now. But I know, I fucking know I'm there. I'm going to be there. So I can relax and enjoy the fucking ride. So that's the through me consciousness. That's where we're heading, brother.
Dude, man, I have to talk to Peter now, man, because this is fucking tripping me out. One of my speeches, I start out by going, you think you live a vicious cycle, when I talk to people dealing with addiction. I said, look, you think you're living a vicious cycle, but you wish you were living a vicious cycle. You're living a linear lifestyle. And I usually draw a line across the board and I say, let's act like it, right? AM, if we ever went to bed the night before, we use. Then we use again. Then we use again. If we go to sleep, we got to scam, get money, and it goes on and on and on. And then I look at the crowd and I go, how long you been using? And they go, forever. And I go, see? Linear lifestyle. And I said, a cycle or a vicious cycle would assume you would be sober half the time and awesome the other half the time. You wish you lived a fucking vicious cycle.
Well, man, you know, that's that, you know, and That's where I'm at. And the ultimate, well, you know, the ultimate level is what Peter describes as me. And that's the unity consciousness. That's where you see yourself in everything and everybody. It's the old, as I, you know, if you can see, I am you, you am I. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. You know, I think I'm actually going to get a knuckle tattoo, man. I think I'm actually going to do it across the thing. I think I'm going to get hold fast.
I like it. I don't know. Here in Australia, anyone that has tattoos on their neck or on their hands, they're called job stoppers.
Or I'm going to flip the silver lining and say, well, if you got them, then it just forces you to have to do your own shit.
Totally. Well, it's interesting. Yeah, I'm nearly 50, I'm 52 and a half, mate. I got my first tattoo when I was 46. I got my first tattoo. So, and I've gone pretty fucking crazy with it.
But, yeah, man. What are you at now? 100? 200?
Let me tell you something. Oh, shit, man. I've lost count. I don't know. Fuck, it's heaps and counting, but that's just me, man. I go balls deep on shit I do. When I say I'm going to do something, I go all the fuck out. So
tell me, go back to the UMI, dude. You said that shit. It got real deep in the cognitive cave over here for a minute, man.
Yeah, cool. Let's go.
Yeah. So what was that? It was that was
inspired pretty much after my DMT trip. Because that's where I saw the unity. That's where I saw the oneness in that trip, as I remember it, or the bits I remember anyway. So this existence, what we're seeing, is an illusion. The illusion of separateness. You know, we still feel we're separate, but we're not. That's the understanding, you know. It still feels separate, but, you know, but there isn't separation, yeah.
And Peter referenced that as well. So did you have this tat, and then you meet Peter? So you have two tattoos that reference Peter's talks.
I got quite a few. I got quite a few here that reference his talk, dude.
So what are the fucking chances, man?
What they say, when the teacher is ready, when the student's ready, the teacher will appear.
Man,
and I can highly recommend you. You have a chat to Peter. Tell him you spoke to me. He's changed my life, man. That guy breaks it down so elegantly and eloquently and beautifully and succinctly. You know, he's a gun. He's an absolute gun.
What the fuck?
I'm very.
Look at my. This is the last text from wifey. If you can read it, hold on. What the fuck? Right? What the fuck, man? It, for those of you who listen to the podcast, I just showed him on my phone that the last text from my wife was the word sage.
It's crazy.
Holy shit, man.
So I would highly recommend you have a chat with him. I think it's happy to help. At petersage.com, I think it's his email. But anyway, if you go to his website, there's an email. He responds to all emails. Dude, let me tell you about the quality of this guy, all right? About this guy who has made a fuckload of money, you know, who could probably open any door he wants on the planet, you know, the UN, you name it. This guy has got almost a master key. You know, I saw his podcast on London Real. It's the first podcast, changed my life. So I hit him up just to say, hey, man, I thought that was an amazing podcast. Thank you very much for sharing your wisdom. And like 3 days after I sent the podcast, I get a phone call from him from London. He actually rang me to say, hey, is that Tony? And I said, yes. Who is this? He said, it's Peter Sage. I said, get the fuck out of here. What do you mean? And he said, yeah. And, you know, sure enough, because the number came up as an English mobile number.
Yeah.
And so we had a lovely little chat. He was very, very kind. He was very generous.
Just rang you up out of fucking nowhere.
Well, not out of nowhere. I mean, I sent an email just to say hello. And as it was, London Real was about to do the masterminds. They had a seminar happening that was meant to happen in September. And I asked to be, and they had all these different speakers, and you went, you know, you paid a fee, you went there, there was workshops, and you could choose two of the people there. One of them was Peter Sage, and the other one was Mike Dolce. Big fan of Mike Dolce's. I love the guy. Anyway, and so that fell through for whatever reason. And then about 4 days later, I see this thing online, Peter Sage Elite Mentoring Program. I thought, this is really interesting, isn't it? You know, he's the guy who I was really, really, really keen to catch up with.
Yeah,
and he's got the thing, and I'm thinking, oh, listen, this guy's probably only going to be interested in, you know, the high end, because it was a fair bit of money, about as much as what I was going to spend to go to England, and do masterminds with, you know, when you factor in accommodation and airfares and living expenses for the time being away. And I thought, well, that's interesting. But then I thought, shit, maybe this guy's interested in, you know, high-end entrepreneurial kinds who are like spewing because they're stuck at like $990 million and just can't bust through that fucking window to become billionaires. But I thought, you know what, this is really interesting that this chain of events have happened. And like we said before, no coincidences. Okay, let's do it. And so, you know, hit him up, made the application, got a Skype interview with him. And there were 7 places in this course, and it was the last time that he was conducting anything quite like this in the one-on-one kind of situation. He has this millionaire business school. You know, he's doing more of the teaching kind of stuff. But as I understand it, this is the last time, or at least for now, that he was going to be doing this kind of format. And I was the last guy in of 7. So. I don't know, you know. So, yeah, man, I guess it was meant to be. And it's been a beautiful experience. Absolutely beautiful experience.
I can't get over the time and chance. You know, my buddy Daniel McNamara, I say my buddy, he's my producer and manager. But he is working on another script, an idea with time and chance. But we talked at length about this notion of time and chance. And, you know, from your tattoos to the last person, I think the number 7 is even key. And all of this happens to, he begins to tweet you and you connect. And I mean, it's no coincidences, man, to see that time and chance connect. I talked to an old friend yesterday for about 2 hours and just, you know, talking to him about life. And I'll never forget him. He was in high school with me, and he's the guy back then that challenged me to a race. I agreed to the race, end up injuring my hamstring, which ended up 4 or 5 years later being the same injury that stopped me from ever playing football again.
Hang on. Hold the thought. I've got to let him in.
Hold the thought.
Hang on.
Yeah. Coming. You listen to the podcast, you know who I'm talking about. Oh, Mr. Wilson. Yeah, I had to give you a shout out, buddy, while they're gone. But yeah, I remember our conversation, the time and the chance. I'm not going to put it too much out there, producer and manager Daniel McNamara, so don't get too mad at me. But it's a really cool concept that you end up having to talk about. But I love talking to Tony, y'all. If you see the motivation, the passion, the realness that's behind Tony, dude. That's why I connect with my boy, man. I love chatting with him. I think it's awesome that he's all the way over there. And shout out to Melbourne, Australia, and we're all the way over here.
There's a Melbourne in Florida as well.
There is. That's 30 minutes from me.
Yeah. Hey, this is my friend Laura.
Hi.
How are you?
Adam. Good. How are you, Adam?
Oh, I'm wonderful. I'm talking to my good friend Tony, and now you're joining the podcast now too. Who are you? Tell everyone listening who you are.
Oh, my name's Lauren, and I'm an old friend of Tony's. We've reconnected after about 5 years, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do?
What do? I design stuff for people. So I make dream catchers, I give out stones, I collect crystals and do all that sort of stuff. And I'm level 1 Reiki attuned as well.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. I see the interest. Yeah. I see the connection, man. These are the vibes we're on, man. My buddy would say at this point, plug into the vibe, right?
That's it. Yep.
So Lauren's just come here to hang out for a bit. And I said, listen, I'm talking to my buddy. So you're going to put this up on YouTube now, aren't you? I know you are.
This is going on the podcast tomorrow, Tony.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, I'm putting it out there, bro. That was shit, dude.
Adam, we have these conversations. Like, I met Adam. He was on the Joe Rogan Experience, and we're big Joe Rogan fans.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's my favorite.
Yeah. Agreed. So we saw Joe out here. You know, as I said, we tried to get it, but I'm going to come to America next year on a mission to catch up with Mr. Rogan. It just time wasn't right for now for me, but I will. It'll happen. Anyway, I lost my trail of thought. We're talking about...
Do you believe you can achieve?
Yeah. All that. Anyway, I lost my trail of thought. Don't worry about it.
No, you were just talking about what we were doing, how we were chatting. And, definitely put you up on the podcast tomorrow, bro.
Thank you. Yeah, so I met Adam. He did a podcast with Joe. And I just love the guy's style of it. And with anyone that I've seen online, I've always been the one to reach out. I'm just like, you know what? I'll just. So I hit him up on the Twitter. Said, hey man, loved you on Rogan. Love the way you roll. We'd love to we'd love to have a chat. And sure enough, you know, this motherfucker gets back.
Beautiful.
And I'm like, fucking win. So and we just connected. And so we've just been having these little series of chats. And
way I'm seeing it happen a lot lately. A lot of these connections are happening a lot at the moment.
So Adam and I just we just catch up on the Google Hangout and,
awesome.
And
well, talk brother. You were talking about, you know, Sages and Peter Sages, some of his talk, and it reminded me of one of my favorite lines that I like to tell people. Like sometimes a friend will reach out for advice or, you know, wish me luck on this interview or something. And I go, look, man, trust the universe is unfolding as it should. If you make the next right choice, trust the universe is unfolding as it should. If you make the next wrong choice, trust me, the universe is unfolding as it should. And so people kind of sit there and like you spoke about it already on the show, you know, being able to sit back and let life happen and understand that it'll just flow. Like you said about, you know, being on Joe. And well, this week is an example of that. I took this week and I'm the podcast is straight booked for December. I had one of my favorite fishing guys going to come on, but he couldn't make it. So I just said, you know what, if I'm supposed to do a podcast this week, I'll do a podcast this week. I'm not going to push anything or invite anybody. And then I shit you not, it's night, it's bedtime kind of in the next 2-3 hours. And then my boy, you hit me up and I went, fuck yeah, look at that. And so now I'm sitting down and I go, am I going to put it on YouTube? Homie, this is a podcast dropping tomorrow, dude. Fuck that.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Well, listen, as always, I always appreciate the opportunity to be with you, mate. It's just lovely just to chat regardless, you know. So
you started this shit, brother. You were my second fucking guest, brother, of all time. You were my second guest. I mean, you started this, man.
Well, hang on. Whoa, hang on. No, you started it. It's your fault. And you know, I'm just kind of I'm just here for the ride and the good time, man. It's as simple as that.
It's been a hell of a fucking ride, isn't it, man?
Right, man. It's great. It's I think the last 2 months of my life have been the greatest 2 months of my life, and I shit you not. And what's ahead, dude? I don't know, but I know it's going to be fucking awesome.
What's coming soon, though, man? I know something's got to be popping off after that video, man. Where are you talking at next? Who's? Because I'm telling you right now, there's at least 15 places over here in my vicinity that I think Jack the Bear needs to be speaking at. All kinds of music schools and motivation shit too, man.
Yeah, well, you know what? I can see that ahead. I mean, I do see travel and talking around the world and talking to kids and serving kids that way. Because that's the direction that my life is heading. I'm still mastering. That'll never leave me. It's my passion too. But
what pulls you to the kids? What pulls you to talk to the kids more?
I think because I understand the struggle of what it's like to bust in to an industry that you want so badly, you know, where your nose is pressed up against the glass and you're looking in and you just don't know where to go or how to go about it. You know, you want it so bad, you can taste it so much. And you have the struggle, in my case, of a dad who, while he appreciated music as a great hobby, I didn't see the merit of doing music production as a valid occupation rather than the normal mainstream kind of shit. My mum, however, was. If it wasn't for her, you know, God bless her, I doubt I would have had the courage to do it. But I think if you get in with the kids, predominantly with the kids, you know, they're young, you know, they've still got a chance. You still are able to try and help undo the damage. Now, it doesn't mean that what I'm talking about isn't relevant to anyone. I mean, you could still be in your mid-30s and be quite well off. As an example I'll give you, I had a client, a guy from Sri Lanka. He was 29 years of age. He was an architect, worked in a very, very high-end firm, made big coin. But he couldn't even tell his parents that he was making music. And this guy was making really great orchestral stuff, you know, for documentary soundtracks. And that was his passion. You could see when he spoke about it, you could just see the energy in his body. You know, he was just like, whoa. And he just didn't like his job. Just didn't like his job. And he understood that the music was a tough gig and you know, financially it was a bit like a lottery, but he was prepared to pay that price. But he couldn't, at 29, he couldn't tell his parents that he was making music, even though he did the degree like they want him to, the course that they want him to do. He married a Sri Lankan girl like they wanted him to. He ticked every fucking box. And yet you'd think this guy still, after all of that, wouldn't have at least the right to indulge in his passion. But his parents just, in a way, wouldn't let him, or wouldn't, they wouldn't want to know. They just didn't want to know about it.
So I think it's huge you do it, man, because they pulled music out of school here. I mean, for the most part, in most elementary schools and middle schools, et cetera, music is not even a class anymore. I mean, in high school, you can sign up for band, but you don't take it's not here anymore.
This is like a lot of this is again what Peter talks about, where he talks about, you know, traditional mainstream schooling is a very left brain linear way of doing things, because if you do a maths test and you get 80%, they can measure that. But you can't measure creativity. You can't measure imagination. You can't measure passion. So what score do you get?
Yeah.
It's too hard. It's subjective. And so, you know, everything has to fit into a box and everything has to sort of go into a certain category and be easily identified and measured and quantified.
Fortunately, I was able to go to an independent school where that stuff was really grasped by the teachers. So I left in year 10 and went off to do year 11 and 12 in an independent school, and I was able to split year 12 into two halves and do it over 2 years. And it showed me, you know, we called the teachers by the first name, and you chose whether you wanted to turn up or not. They gave us the decision. So I did so much better on all my exams than I had done up until 16 years of age. And then I just excelled because I was given a different set of circumstances to the normal school structure. So that worked for me. And now I can see I need to implement it in some different way to young people that they can achieve it. It's just society and the way school's set up, you know?
Do you know what that's a certain track of education. Do you know what that track of education in the state of Florida would cost you per year for your child?
A lot.
$60,000 to $30,000 a year you would have to pay to privatize and privately educate your child to receive anything remotely close to that track of education.
Well, this was free. This was free here.
Yeah. Over here, everything is taught to what in Florida, I'll speak to it. Taught towards standardized testing. And so they have this FCAT is what it's called. So all year, all these teachers do is teach to pass the test, because their grades and salary are based on how their classes perform on that test.
Yeah, that's right.
Like they fucking memorize it. I mean, it creating little tiny robots of whatever you say.
Mm. Yeah, teaching kids what to think as opposed to how to think.
Ooh, best way I've heard it put. Yeah. Yeah.
Fortunately, my brother, he's a multi-instrumentalist. He's a fantastic drummer. He was endorsed by Pearl and Zildjian, and he went off to a school called Kingsville College where they really harnessed music talents there. So his music teacher just grabbed him and just harnessed him, and he did so well, you know. And the other subjects, they were like, you know, they're important, but let's harness your real talent here. So that, you know, we sent him there. But that did cost a lot because it was private education. Yeah. So it did cost to get that series of education up.
I'm with Bob Marley, man. If education's the key, then it should be free. I don't care if it's music or science or medical.
But here's the other stuff at school that don't teach, Adam, and I think they should. They don't teach kids. I remember when I was growing up in high school, they had a subject called home economics.
Yeah.
And home economics was around, you know, cooking and shopping and making a budget, life, survival stuff. You know, kids go out there having no idea how to do that shit for themselves. They don't know how to balance. They had to run a basic savings account. Just the shit you got to do as an adult. Life.
Yeah, I took a life skills class where they taught me CPR.
Yeah.
Like CPR, I'm going to need to know what the fuck credit and insurance means. That's way before I'm going to have to bring a motherfucker to life.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure CPR could be a handy thing.
Oh, I've
well.
Done it three times. You know, but,
you know. Yeah, but the whole fucking class.
Yeah, no, you need balance a checkbook, balance a savings account. All
my baby. Stuff. Isn't she hot?
I can't see it. There you go. Mm, bang, look at you. Oh, yeah, she was on the show. She was on our last show. Oh, yeah. She was on our very first show, actually.
I love Connie. She's awesome.
Yeah, she's my queen.
She's given me some really good advice.
Mm-hmm. Well, anytime I look, I'm going to stick to it, man. Most of the time when you find a good, powerful I am you, you am I man, you generally find a well-put-together woman next to him.
Definitely.
Indeed. Indeed, indeed. All right, so listen, buddy, we're going to have to go because I've got some shit to do, and this just came out of the blue, but I was not going to say no to you and give you some time because I love you, brother. I love the fuck out of you. I really do.
I kiss you through the screen, man. I appreciate you doing the podcast, bro. I got an hour to put up tomorrow, man. Save the editing time, too.
So good to meet you, man.
Good Thank to meet you. You. Me. Put some love out there. Put some shout-out. Yeah. Where do you find you? Where do the people listening find you? And where? And Facebook. Then I'll see you.
Facebook, Kaya Raven.
It's K-Y-A.
R-A-V-N, like the bird.
There you go. Kaya Raven. All right. Love you lots, man. Thanks again for the opportunity. Hit up Peter.
Yeah, I'll hit him up, man. I'll hit him up. I appreciate you coming on, dog. Everybody look up my boy, too. Jack the Bear on Twitter, right?
Yep. Jack the _ bear. And Tony, Jack the Bear Mance on Facebook.
And look up my boy and check out his podcast too, Melbourne Real, if you ain't listening, dude. I'll catch you sometime in the random universe.
All right. Take care, bro. See you, mate.